this morning. So grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are some things that the Catholic Church has done for a very long time that I think we Lutherans kind of let go to the wayside, and that's the idea of anointing. The idea of anointing is a very beautiful thing. We don't believe it's magical, and we don't believe it's mystical. We don't believe it's anything that works magic in your lives by any means. But it is something very powerful. I'll never forget the first time I was anointed with oil. I was in seminary. You guys are going to be beginning to think, boy, you must have a lot of health problems, and that's how Satan attacks me. So I was in seminary, and I had three back-to-back surgeries, one right after another. And I had my first surgery. It was a five-hour surgery, and the doctor said, you're good to go. Your problem won't come back. 2 weeks later, the problem was back with a vengeance. He did another surgery, and he said, you're good to go. The problem won't be back. And he said, in 2 weeks when I was in his office again, he said, you're a freak of nature. I need you to go to the Mayo Clinic. And so I went to the Mayo Clinic, and they confirmed the diagnosis of a freak of nature. But while I was there, a pastor that I knew in the area came and prayed with me, and he did something I'd never done before. He anointed my head and my hands with oil, and he said this wonderful prayer. And that prayer was so powerful, and it was so meaningful, because the prayer reminded me of my baptism. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it was so meaningful and so powerful as he said that prayer to be anointed with oil. There was just something mystical behind it, something mysterious behind it, something that felt very spiritual, that felt very loving. And I had the surgery at the Mayo Clinic, and even though they diagnosed me officially as a freak of nature, I was healed from that and went on to live my life without that ailment anymore. So the prayer worked, I presume, and everything was good. In my ministry, Stephanie knows I've been doing healing prayer since the beginning. I've started doing healing prayer right away. I would do healing services around the city of Buffalo, and I've seen strange and wonderful things happen. It's not like the healing you see from Benny Hinn. Have any of you seen Benny Hinn before? Come on, if you've never seen Benny Hinn, you've got to watch Benny Hinn at least once. Get some popcorn. It's better entertainment than Joel Osteen, I promise you. It really is, okay? Because good old Benny, get some popcorn, have a scotch or a beer, and you'll be good to go. Benny sets the place on fire, and he heals people, and then he receives all this glory for it and says, look at me. And that's not the point of healing. Because when God is doing healing, when God is working in prayer, that's not what happens, right? It's exactly what it seems to be. It's God doing it, and we don't receive glory. So my first congregation, we started doing a healing prayer once a month, it was opened up to the community, and we started off with maybe a handful of people, and by the end, we had 40 or 50 people that weren't members of our church coming once a month for this wonderful healing prayer, very similar to what you see here, and they would come, and then we would spend time in prayer, and they would come up, and I would say, what would you like to pray for? And there's this one lady who came up religiously every Sunday, and she said, I have cancer, I'd like to pray about it, and we prayed. Well, after about 4.5 years, I announced that I was taking a call, and before I left that congregation, one of the last services I did there was a healing service. And after the service, she came and she grabbed me, and she said, I have to tell you something. I said, what? She said, I just went to my doctor, and my tumor is gone. I said, what? She said, my tumor is gone. And we rejoiced. We cried together, and we praised God together, and we sang a song together, and we rejoiced. Rightfully so, because God had done that for her in her life, right? Because God still does miracles, and he still uses things. My last congregation, right before I got there, the elders had a member in the congregation who had been diagnosed with an inoperable brain cancer. And so they did exactly what James said to do today. They gathered the elders around him, and they did a prayer. And the doctor, afterwards, the doctor wheeled him off in the operating room. And a few moments later, the doctor comes back out, and they bring the patient back out. And the doctor meets with the family and says, I can't begin to explain this to you, but there's no tumor inside his brain. There's nothing to operate on. Prayer works. What God does with our prayer works. The healing power of God works. It truly is amazing. You see, God heals us in many ways. He heals the miraculous type of healing. I do believe that still happens. In the seminary, I learned boldly that miracles don't happen anymore. They ended with the apostolic age. I thought in my brain, make a mental note, that's hogwash. I believe miracles happen every day. When I drive out there and that guy who runs the red light does not hit me and I survived, that's a miracle, right? It's a miracle every day when somebody actually loves me for who I am. That's a miracle, right? You agree. These miracles happen all the time. They do. The modern-day gift of medicine is a miracle. We believe by the first article of the creed that God gave us the gift of medicine. We know as Lutherans, one of our great theologians named Franz Pieper, he teaches that when you take an aspirin for your headache, it's not the aspirin that actually is working for the headache, it's God using that aspirin to take away your headache and to take away your pain. That's God's gift of the first use of the article of the gift of medicine, that God uses that medicine for you and for me every day. And he expands that gift of medicine every day. The marvelous things they do every day as God uses that gift to heal us and restore us and to heal and restore our loved ones and to treat cancer and the flu and all those things that go on around us. God uses those boldly and courageously in our culture and in our society. But God also uses healing through the power of his word. He also uses healing through the power of his sacraments. The day you were baptized, God called you by name. He anointed you. He made you his own. Anointing, number one, reminds us, what we're doing today, reminds us that we are God's child. Anointing puts us in mind of our baptism. Just like in the Old Testament when God would call the kings, and I think of King David, and he went and had King David anointed, and King David's name was known by God to be king, right? He was set apart. He was anointed. In your baptism, God called you by name. He anointed you to be his child. He anointed you to be with him forever. He anointed you. He forgave your sins, and he said, I heal you from the disease of sin. No longer will this disease tear you apart or kill you. No longer will this disease destroy you, but now you have been healed. You have been made alive. You have been made new. I am with you always, and you are with me. God's word heals us. God's word heals us all the time. The power of God's word, how much do we need that in our life as sin and shame and guilt runs rampant in our lives? You know it does. I don't have to tell you. We all deal with those things in our lives. Remember sin? Sin is our disease. We're all born sinful. Guilt is natural. It's from the Holy Spirit. We need guilt in our lives to see that we are sinful so that we need God's forgiveness. But shame is from Satan. Shame causes us to believe that we are our sin. Shame causes us to believe that we are evil. Shame causes us to believe that we are no longer God's child. That's what Satan does in our lives as he uses that terrible, terrible weapon of shame to root out God's forgiveness and salvation. But God's word, in the healing power of Jesus, through his death and resurrection, it restores us, it heals us, it brings back the healing power of God's grace in our lives. And God does heal us in the sacrament of the altar. I firmly believe that every time we gather around the altar to receive the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the bread and the wine, which is truly his body and blood, he is restoring us. He's forgiving us. He's removing our sin, our shame, and our guilt as far as the east is from the west to make us new, to make us whole, to make us restored. How perfect and wonderful that gift is. And what a good time of year as we end an old year and begin a new year to celebrate this healing of God's gift in our lives. I don't know about you, but sometimes these years are harder than others. This year, it seems like Satan has definitely attacked my health. But for you, it may be finances. Maybe it's an issue in your family. Maybe a disgruntled loved one or a grudge that you're holding. Maybe a loved one who's hard to take care of or who's struggling with some type of disease or cancer in their lives. Maybe it's your own personal struggle or relationship in your own life, a pet sin or an addiction maybe you're struggling with. Maybe it's a fear or a worry or a doubt that keeps popping up and tries to pull you away from Jesus. It happens to us all at one time or another. And all these things happen. And so as we end this old year and begin this new year, how befitting is it for us to put those old things behind us, to cast them upon Jesus? Jesus says in his words, cast your burdens and anxieties upon me. Cast them upon me, give them to me, and I will take them upon myself, and I will give you my yoke and my burden, which is easy and light and peace-filled. And I will heal you, and I will restore you, and I will give you peace. And so today we have the opportunity to do that, to come before our God at his altar to receive him as he comes to us in bread and wine for the forgiveness and salvation of our souls, to wipe our past once again free, to restore us, to cleanse us, to restore forgiveness to us, as Psalm 103 says, verse 12, to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That's forever and ever. and ever. We have the opportunity to come forward and to pray and to be anointed with oil, to pray for whatever it is we need to pray for, to turn our burdens over to God, to turn it all over to God, and to ask Him to take whatever it is in our lives and to take it to the foot of His cross as we surrender it to Him and ask Him to bless us, to restore us, to renew us, to uphold us, and to uplift us. And He will do it because He is faithful. And at the end, you will have the opportunity to be anointed with oil. Again, it's not something magical or mystical, but it reminds us of our baptism as we feel the oil go on to our forehead in the shape of a cross. It reminds us of our baptism that we belong to Jesus and that He belongs to us. It reminds us of our baptism that we have had the ultimate healing from the ultimate disease of sin, death, and the devil. They have been destroyed in our lives and we have been set free. This anointing reminds us that God's love for us will never be taken away from us, nor can it ever be changed. By the way, the oil I use is called the oil of frankincense and myrrh. How many of you remember, have heard of those before? The wise men took frankincense and myrrh to Jesus because they were expensive. Back in the olden days, frankincense and myrrh were used by royalty and wealthy people because of two reasons. The water to take a bath wasn't very clean to take baths in, and a lot of people, when they would take baths, would wind up getting infections in their skin because the water was so dirty, plus it didn't make them smell good. So they would use frankincense oil and myrrh oil, and they would bathe themselves in frankincense and myrrh oil because the natural combination of the two would actually cleanse the pores and make you smell good for a very long time. Now, that was reserved for royalty because only the wealthy could afford it. But today, I use frankincense and myrrh on you because you are royalty. You are royalty because Jesus has opened the kingdom of heaven to you. You are royalty because Jesus has baptized you into the name of the Father. You are His child, and the whole kingdom He has given to you this day. So today we come forward. We come forward seeking the healing of God, both in prayer, in word, and in sacrament. We come forward receiving the forgiveness that Jesus wins for us and rejoicing in that forgiveness and love which will never be taken away as we begin a new year. We come forward finding peace for our souls and joy for our hearts and rejoicing for eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord.